Hey, Vetfolio Voice listeners. For this talk, I was joined by Dr. Kendall Houlihan to talk about spectrum of care, and we talked about it in terms of parasiticides. We're really lucky nowadays to have a wide range of options for parasite control in our pets. And as we've learned over the years, most pets are at risk for most categories of parasites and would benefit from broad spectrum protection. However, we know that some parasiticide options may not be accessible to every pet owner for a variety of reasons, and rather than adhering to sort of this strict idea of what we think we need to do, it's important that we meet pet owners where they are and create a plan that makes sense for their pet and their unique situation. Such a great topic to cover, so timely, so important, and Dr. Houlihan was just a pleasure to talk to. Dr. Houlihan, an associate director in the Animal Welfare Division, has served at the AVMA since 2014. In that role, she supports the mission and vision of the AVMA regarding the development and implementation of animal welfare and human-animal interaction policies, utilizing sound scientific evidence and consideration of ethical and societal implications. With focus on companion animal issues, specific responsibilities include providing staff support to the AVMA Animal Welfare Committee and Steering Committee on Human-Animal Interactions, as well as serving on the AVMA's IACUC and attending allied organizational meetings to foster collaborative relationships with a variety of other veterinary organizations and stakeholder groups. Previously, she practiced companion animal medicine in the Chicagoland area, and Dr. Houlihan earned her undergraduate degree from the University of Notre Dame and her veterinary degree from the University of Illinois Champaign-Urbana. All right, let's go ahead and get into our discussion.
The Protect Every Pet Virbac Parasiticide Portfolio is on a mission to meet the needs of every pet and provide both viable and affordable options to every pet owner. Cost should never prevent your clients from getting the parasite protection their pets need. From topicals to chewables, Virbac's wide range of products with proven active ingredients provide effective protection, allowing veterinarians to tailor their recommendations to the needs of their clients. Learn more at us.virbac.com.
Well, for this episode, I am so excited to be joined by Dr. Kendall Houlihan, and we're going to talk about spectrum of care and specifically with regards to parasiticides. I mean, goodness knows we have lots of options out there. So really how we can connect with people and make sure that we're keeping these pets protected from the different parasite classes that are out there. So Dr. Houlihan, thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely. Thanks for the invite.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So like I mentioned, we're talking about keeping pets protected from parasites and more importantly, maybe acknowledging that some owners might have barriers to following veterinary recommendations when it comes to parasiticides. So kind of starting with the science here, what do we know about parasite prevalence?
Yeah, well, according to the Companion Animal Parasite Council, we've got recent prevalence data that suggests that both dogs and cats are going to be susceptible to heartworm in all 50 states. And there used to be this really significant regional difference, but changes to the climate and movement of animals have led to a general recommendation that all dogs and cats should be protected from heartworm infection by using preventions year-round. And I'll use Chicago as an example because that's where I've lived most of my life. The end of October, weather's always super weird. Halloween costumes must be in layers. Never know what you're going to get. This year, it did sleet on Halloween. But then we had a handful of days in November where it was in the mid-60s. And it's mid-December now, and it's 50 degrees outside. So we just can't depend on the weather working in our favor when it comes to parasite control anymore.
I am also originally from Chicago, and I remember those Halloweens of, and honestly, it can get that way a little bit in Florida too, not so much with the sleet, but definitely with the unpredictable weather. But yes, that there's a lot of variability and you can't necessarily rely on a hard freeze when you expect one.
Absolutely. So if we talk about ectoparasites next, we know fleas are going to be the most common that we're going to see in the US in dogs and cats. And when we talk about fleas and ticks, we've got that additional public health issue of them feeding on people and being vectors of zoonotic disease. So because of that, CAPC is also recommending that cats and dogs be treated year-round with flea and tick control products. And that's going to be both to limit the infestations on our pets and prevent establishment of those parasite populations in and around the home.
Yes. I always, you know, my heart always like beats a little bit faster when someone's like, well, I've never seen a tick on them. I'm like, it only takes one. And those suckers are so nasty. Yes. Like they will transmit diseases before you know what happened.
Mm-hmm. My husband's from Connecticut. So we are like on the ticks. And even living in Chicago proper, I had found a tick crawling on my little Shih Tzu I had at the time. And we were like urban dwellers. We were not like going out in the forest preserves and things like that. So I thought we were safe. She was on prevention, but those little critters are around.
I tell you, that's such a good example of how you can really find them anywhere. So bearing my soul a little bit, which I tend to do here on the podcast, I'm thinking of, you know, maybe those clients who come in and they're in for their annual exam and you recommend prevention and you say, you know, do you want to take some home today? 6 months, 12 months. And they say, I'll just take 1 month. I'll come back next month and get the next dose. And you know, in your gut that that's probably not going to happen, but truthfully, you know, then they're out the door and it's out of sight, out of mind. And you have other clients, other patients that you're dealing with. And I think it can probably lead to a pretty significant issue with compliance. How do we as clinics identify weaknesses in our parasite prevention protocol for our patients? Say that five times fast.
Yeah. So it really is a challenge because there's not a database where we can all track sort of what the general compliance is. I think anecdotally, we know that all of our canine and feline patients are absolutely not receiving heartworm, flea, and tick prevention year round. Because we don't have general data, we can look at individual studies. There was one that came out recently in 2023 that reported that less than 40% of dogs in the Golden Retriever Lifetime Study were on preventive heartworm medications. And these are dogs that have owners that elected to be a part of this lifetime study on the health of their animals. And then we know that historically cats receive less preventive care and veterinary care in general than dogs do. So it's likely that their coverage is going to be significantly lower than the general dog population. So, yes. So as an individual clinic, you're pretty much looking at the sales and the number of people that you've got and the individual invoices to sort of see. I think that there are some opportunities to increase compliance, but as far as tracking goes, we're really limited by the types of inventories that we have and our ability to leverage the data that are in our health veterinary record systems.
I wonder though, you know, with you bringing that up, if there's really an opportunity there to make an active effort to track some of the people who really do come back, or do they request it online, or, you know, do we have any record of follow-up for prevention? And, you know, amidst the many other projects that I'm sure we're all working on as clinics, you know, maybe take a more active role in tracking these compliance numbers. I think, you know, another issue we might have, though, when, you know, if we identify that weakness and we identify a lack of compliance is, you know, if we reach out and we have clients who say, I don't want to take home the parasiticide that you're offering in clinic or have some other barrier to treatment there. So are there options for us as clinics to make sure that we're targeting multiple different needs for different pets, cats and dogs, urban versus rural, although we talked about those needs are the same. And, you know, in different, you know, maybe different economic situations and income levels and different relationships with the pets.
Well, there's definitely a variety of reasons where our clients don't consistently use parasite prevention. Back to another available survey, the American Heartworm Society in 2022 had a study that stated that 64% of veterinarians reported having clients decline preventive care products specifically due to cost concerns.
Sure.
So that has to be top of mind. When it comes to finding ways to address those known gaps, because we see people leave either with nothing or we follow up, I wanted to go back to that recommendation that you had. We send out emails or postcards for reminding people for things like vaccines and heartworm tests and things like that. Is there a way that we could automate if somebody gets 1 month, 3 months, 6 months of prevention, that it's just in the system that they get that automated reminder that is to bring that sort of back in front of them as a consideration. So it's not lost to our owners as well, because we know there's a lot of things that are taking up our mental energy and space these days.
Absolutely. And I think that would certainly capture a percentage to say, you know, sometimes it really is like, I just forgot. So thanks for reminding me. I know I've been that person before where I'm like, did I give you heartworm prevention? As much as I hate to admit that, like, I'm human as well.
Same. Yeah. Sometimes veterinarians are the worst pet owners. I know I struggle with that as well. So when we're looking at strategies, we want to get away from the one size fits most approach, because if we're just going to have one thing that we're going to recommend to everybody and they're going to take it or leave it, we're really missing out on opportunities to reach many more clients than we are right now. So ideally, hospitals are going to have a variety of options at different price points. They're going to be single and combo coverage. They're going to have different modes of administrations. So you can have a more in-depth conversation with owners about what their priorities and preferences and expectations are, and be able to link up the ideal product for that family. And that should help increase compliance.
Sure. You know, of course, then if we're talking about carrying a lot of inventory, that that would be ideal if we can put it in their hand. But, you know, of course, that can be a challenge because it's, you know, who's going to take what product and which ones do we choose, because we're fortunate that there are so many options out there. I know for me personally, when, you know, that one size fits all option doesn't work, then I've had luck with being able to prescribe things online and, you know, giving owners options that way.
Absolutely. And this could be a really nice opportunity to leverage your clinic's online pharmacy that takes pressure off of your in-hospital inventory. And it can also provide options for things like home delivery and monthly payments that can absolutely increase compliance. And integrating parasite prevention into those inclusive preventive care packages is another way that can help inform your future inventory planning. And it makes sure that people are aware of, have paid for, and are expecting that parasite prevention is just part of their year-round care.
I don't know why that was such a light bulb moment for me. I've honestly never thought about that, but it makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything we can do to make it easier on owners to do the thing that they want to do and we want them to do is going to be a win.
I think what we're talking about here when we say this is not a one size fits all plan when it comes to parasite prevention, you know, we can't just say here's one option, take it or leave it. Part of what we're talking about is spectrum of care, which has been a big topic of conversation lately. So can you tell us, you know, kind of in your words, what we mean when we're talking about spectrum of care?
Sure. Spectrum of care is, in general, the concept that veterinary care exists along a continuum. We've got one end that is more basic, less resource dependent, typically lower cost, less invasive, lower tech. And then on the other end, it's going to be more advanced, more resource dependent, higher cost, usually more invasive and higher tech care. And between that is many, many, many choices. And all of those choices can support the patient's needs. That being said, it's important to note that this concept of exploring different treatments and diagnostic options to meet the client situation has always been a core strategy in the practice of vet med, but it's only recently that it's been labeled specifically as spectrum of care and gained more attention as a way to improve access to veterinary care.
It's so important to talk about, and I'm so glad that we're talking about it more and more because, you know, of course, in vet school, we're taught, you know, don't x-ray your client's wallet and, you know, make sure we're recommending the best. And those strategies are very important. Those concepts are very important. But, you know, sometimes you get a vibe in the room and you can kind of read the room and say, you know, I don't think this is going to go in the way of the option that I would recommend. So let me make sure that I offer some additional options. And, you know, I think giving that a name and making that a, you know, a well communicated and talked about strategy is important.
Mm-hmm. And along those lines, spectrum of care is also sometimes referred to as contextualized care. And that's because it incorporates those non-pet factors that are going to influence the client's goals, priorities, and capabilities. And some of those resources that we can expect to impact our care recommendations are going to be things like time and money and physical effort and emotional investment. And hopefully we're going to have ongoing developed relationships with our clients, but the availability of those resources, even for those individuals that we've taken from like kittenhood to senior, are going to have changes within their individual lives that are going to affect those resources at any given time.
Absolutely. So important to remember that we're having this conversation often and making sure that we're meeting our clients' and our patients' needs. I want to switch back to parasiticides here. One of the parts of the conversation that I feel like is really important whenever I'm talking to a client about parasite prevention is making sure that we have good, comprehensive parasite coverage. You know, it's not just one class of parasites or the other, that we're really doing our best to cover as many types of parasites as we can. So can we talk about client communication and how we effectively communicate that goal to clients of broad spectrum parasite coverage and maybe what some of the important questions are to ask our clients when we're trying to make that plan?
Sure. So just like with any of our other veterinary recommendations, there's usually going to be multiple ways to approach parasite prevention that's going to result in an acceptable patient outcome. So communication, like you said, is going to be key in practicing spectrum of care. And to be effective, what really needs to happen is that the veterinarian and the client have to view all of those care options that are being offered as viable and potentially desirable choices. Like you were mentioning earlier, a lot of professionals, including myself, were taught to present the most expensive plan first as plan A, and then move down the list as financial or other constraints come into play. And unfortunately, there's an inherent value judgment when options are being shared in that way. So if we're consciously practicing spectrum of care, that's going to involve more shared decision-making to best meet the pet's needs within the owner's current situation and being responsive to the owner's expectations and their financial or other resource limitations. So additional questions that we might ask within spectrum of care is going to be about the pet's lifestyle to include open-ended questions about the owner's goals and concerns that are related to parasite prevention. So this might be things like, what's the parasite of greatest concern for you as an individual? And do you have a desired duration of action? We know we've got products that last 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. So having those questions and preferences looked at, and then routes of administration. There are some people that really prefer a chew or a topical or an injectable if that's available. So making sure that we're asking those questions about what people are physically able to do or feel like they're mentally prepared to remember to do, and just have general preferences. So once we get all that information, we can use client education to focus on the advantages and disadvantages of all of those different options that are going to meet the goals. But what we don't want to do is a deep dive into every potential option because that is going to be overwhelming for the clients. This is likely not the only issue that we are talking about over the course of this appointment. And that's also not a good use of staff time. So instead, what we want to do is incorporate all of that information that the owner shared in order to make maybe two or three recommendations that are tailored specifically to that family.
I love that, to, you know, really make sure you're asking those specific questions related to that family and that pet. And that way you can kind of present a narrow range of options and say, you know, these are what I think would be best for you. And I think that's a strategy I've kind of come to the longer I've been out of, I don't know, I almost felt like it was wrong to not present every single option, to say like, well, you know, I don't know, like you know, it's your pet and I want you to have all the information. And of course the eyes glaze over and, you know, you completely lose all interest in everything you're saying. So I think that's important to say, you know, as your veterinarian, as a professional who's familiar with the options that are out there and what your specific needs are, I think that these options would be good for you and help people make that decision.
So we know that people are busy and have a lot of different responsibilities that are vying for their mental space and energy. So for some owners, the best match is going to be something that's going to simplify caring for their pets. So potential example would be an owner with an indoor-outdoor cat that's living in a single family home in a Midwestern suburb. And the owner is aware of the danger of heartworm disease, but their immediate concern is that their indoor-outdoor cat does not bring fleas into their house. And this would be an opportunity then to recommend those combination products that protect against ectoparasites and heartworm disease. And this way, the owner will remember to give the product because the flea prevention is going to be top of mind for them. But their cat's also going to benefit from the heartworm prevention that everybody recognizes that is important, but wouldn't necessarily get that same level of compliance otherwise. And rather than diminishing the concerns of the owner because they're not prioritizing this potentially deadly disease, we can just provide value in this combo product that addresses their primary goal and also protects against heartworms and maybe even ticks and ear mites and intestinal parasites and those other things that they might be exposed to while they're outdoors.
Sure, all while addressing their primary concern, which, like you said, will be top of mind. And cats are such a good example because I feel like, you know, we all try to get as many products into that one application as we can because you just don't get many opportunities with cats.
Yeah, totally.
Well, we know that cost is an often cited barrier to accessing veterinary care in general. And, you know, of course, this applies to parasiticides as well. So I think this question would be kind of twofold of how do we get clients to be honest with us? You know, sometimes we get that vibe and we're like, I know that cost is the problem here and I just need you to communicate that with me so we can, you know, have this conversation and I can give you more options. So how do we get clients to feel comfortable opening up to us if they have cost concerns? And then, you know, do you have any tips for addressing that conversation if a client does open up and say, listen, I just can't afford it?
Well, we know that financial constraints are consistently reported as the leading barrier to accessing veterinary care. So some owners, for them, the upfront cost of products is going to be the main priority. And even though it can be difficult, one of the options is just to straight up ask. Just say, what is your budget for preventive care today? Sort of open the conversation to know that it's not taboo, that you're not going to leave the room and send somebody else in with an enormous estimate and they're not going to know what it's going to look like. Price transparency does a lot to increase trust between the veterinary team and owners. So having those prices available, if you do have an online pharmacy, so people can see what those prices might be beforehand, so they're not just hit with all of it when they come to the appointment. And also, right up front, presenting multiple options at different price points. So it's not, if you recognize that they are have a dog that they're looking for a combo product that's going to help with ectoparasites and heartworm disease, and don't just give them one option that meets their needs, give them three and that are at different price points, and they might have different coverage, they might be from different brands, so they have a little bit of flexibility and know what different price points are going to get them.
Absolutely. And I think it's becoming, I don't know what the word is, you know, a little more accepted, a little more commonplace to ask that question of, you know, listen, let's talk about cost here, because we know that veterinary care is not inexpensive. And, you know, I would want somebody to say that to me of like, listen, let's, like you said, price transparency. Let's talk about how much this is going to cost. And is that going to be okay? Rather than, you know, I'm going to say, oh, you should do this. And that's the end of the story. I love that recommendation to just ask and just, you know, see if people will be open with you.
Yeah. And having flexible payment options is something else, because sometimes people don't have that money up front. But if it's a new world now, and monthly payments is part of it. And there are many individuals that will, if you can spread that out, then they'll just put it into their monthly budget and move on. So allowing some flexibility in that, I think, can be really helpful at opening up year-round coverage to more people. And it's also really important to make sure that we're sharing the information about how much more cost-effective it is to invest in consistent parasite prevention than actually dealing with heartworm disease or a flea and tick infestation. So if it is at all possible, you're better off investing ahead of time, and that will save you money and grief and protect your pet from having to go through that in the future.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that whole zoonotic disease thing. Some people don't worry about that. But to me, I'm like, oh, but they're contagious to you. Mm-hmm. And that just kind of makes my skin crawl a little bit.
Yeah. So I've got another quick example we can go through of a client that has an inflexible budget. So in this hypothetical, we have an owner with two small dogs who's living in an urban apartment in the Southeast. And they definitely want what's best for their pets. But because of an inflexible budget, coverage for everything is just not going to be a reality here. So like our other recommendations, identifying what's going to be ideal for this client is going to require transparent and non-judgmental communication, because there might already be some shame present for not being able to do what they've been previously told was best for their pets. So let's say after identifying heartworm prevention as the top priority due to living in a high-risk environment and the intensive and expensive treatment that would be necessary if they were infected, you can work together with that owner to develop a plan that fits within their budget. And that might just include a heartworm-specific product that can be charged and shipped to them monthly, spread out those payments, and a couple of doses of a flea and tick product that they can use as a treatment instead of a prevention if something happens in the meantime. And even though that's not ideal, a key aspect of spectrum of care is that we're flexible based on new information and circumstances. So the risks and resources are going to change over time. And if we have open communication with our clients and they know the risks and benefits of different paths and different products, that can aid in us making adjustments to treatment plans that are going to best fit the needs of the client and the pet. Because maybe that client could adjust their budget in the future to be able to integrate something, some more consistent ectoparasite coverage. But right now, they know that they're supported and they have a veterinary team that is willing to work with them to come up with the ideal plan that they can make work at that time.
Sure. We're not letting perfect be the enemy of good. Making sure we at least have as much coverage as we can reasonably get for that pet. And like you said, that open communication, that price transparency, so that, you know, owners understand that there's other classes of parasites that are important, you know, but we're going to work with them to focus on what is the most important for their pet in this moment. And it gives them the opportunity, like you said, if they want to and are able to work this into the budget over time, great. And we're, you know, we're certainly doing the best they can and encouraging them to tell us what their needs are so that we can protect the pets as best as possible. Well, we've talked a lot about having these conversations. You know, you and I are veterinarians, but this is, of course, a whole team approach because a lot of times this conversation needs to come up more than once, either in an appointment or over multiple visits. So let's talk about incorporating the whole team. How do we make this a whole team approach to really make the best effort we can to protect all of our pets, all of our patients as much as we possibly can?
So a good first step is going to be establishing a culture where everyone on the team is prepared for and supported in meeting each client where they are. This is going to work best if the whole team recognizes that there are acceptable outcomes that can be achieved at many points along that spectrum of care. And we've talked about how good communication is so key, and having everyone on the same page and contributing to that communication is going to be a must. Like you said, this is a team effort. This is a wonderful opportunity to leverage our veterinary technicians and other staff to continually reiterate the importance of parasite prevention for the health and welfare of our pets. And I have heard of the idea of identifying a parasite prevention lead. So this would be like a veterinary technician who really enjoys having these types of conversations. So they can take the vet's recommendations and be able to have a more lengthy and in-depth conversation with the client and confidently discuss those advantages and disadvantages of all the various options that are offered, and make sure that those clients feel heard and that all of their questions are answered completely.
I love that idea of really having somebody who's very knowledgeable about the different options out there and how to make that happen for the client and good at communicating that. They can just have a really comfortable conversation of, you know, we're gonna treat your pet, and we're going to, you know, give you the best parasite coverage we possibly can. And we're going to give you all the information that you want and need to make sure your pet is protected.
Mm-hmm. And that's also nice to be able to give an individual on the veterinary team a more leadership position where they're the go-to person on this topic. So if they have new members of staff, whether it's on the technician team or at the front desk, that they could be in charge of educating them as well, so they're better prepared when they're client-facing to be able to share information.
Absolutely. Everybody wins. The other thing I want to acknowledge here is we're talking about spectrum of care and contextualized care with respect to owners and making sure that we're flexible and we're open and we can adapt to what they need. I also really like what you said in the example of let's cover heartworms and then we'll do a couple doses of flea and tick that they can use in the case of having an outbreak. You know, of course, we know that's not ideal, but it's certainly better than nothing. And sometimes I think we also need permission from our colleagues as veterinarians and veterinary professionals to say, this is the plan I'm going to recommend, and I don't have to feel like I'm doing something wrong by recommending this, that, you know, you're working with your patient and your client within the boundaries you've been given and doing the best you possibly can for that patient. And that's the most important thing.
Absolutely. The spectrum of care has been looked at more recently as this strategy to not only benefit our clients by giving them more options that they can utilize and be able to work in the constraints that they might have, financial typically being the one that is most important, but also benefiting the pets because they are going to get some level of care that is evidence-based and acceptable. And both of those things then allow veterinarians to offer more care and offer more care that provides good health and welfare for our patients. And it's not a shock that the inability to provide the care that we want to is causing compassion fatigue and moral stress throughout the veterinary profession. So if we can just leverage the strategy that is already part of veterinary medicine And like you said, support each other in doing this and not looking down or judging our colleagues because we're not starting at the most intensive, most expensive, most high tech, and then working our way down and making everybody feel bad about it. But using the context of that animal, that human being that's in the exam room with you, and being able to pick out a group of options that are going to meet their needs and is actually achievable.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like everybody gets supported in this scenario, the veterinary team, you know, all of us as colleagues together, and then our patients and our clients, and facilitating that open communication amongst everybody involved here. And ultimately, patients receive better care and everybody just has a better day.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we're here for.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. Well, Dr. Houlihan, this has been such a great, such an important conversation about making sure that we're offering options and that we're working within, you know, some of the constraints that we may be presented with, and that we can feel good about doing that, and making sure that we're aware of and able to educate owners about the different options. So thank you so much for joining me. I had a wonderful time talking to you. I really enjoyed this talk with Dr. Houlihan. It was a good reminder for me, and hopefully it was a good reminder to many people out there about the importance of having these conversations with clients and really trying to meet them where they are. A huge thank you to Virbac for making this episode possible, and thanks to Dr. Houlihan for the great conversation. If you enjoyed this talk, I've been told that leaving us a 5-star review will help other veterinary professionals find this great information. So if you have a second, leave us a 5-star review if you would, and hopefully we can get more of this information out there. For more episodes like this, click on the Education tab on the VetFolio website. As always, we'd love to hear your input on this talk, as well as ideas for topics you'd like to hear from us in the future. Feel free to reach out to me at dvm@vetfolio.com. You can also visit my Facebook page at Dr. Cassie DVM, and you can find me on LinkedIn. And remember, if one animal is better off because of you today, it's a great day.